Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be here tonight on Wednesday night. Let's go to our Bibles. Amen. Thankful for the Word of God tonight. Praise the Lord. When you look at the creation of God, there is no way that any thinking person would say there is no God. Amen. I was listening to Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Just awesome. Just the first few chapters in the Word of God are awesome. And one day we're going to stand before this God who created everything, who created you and I. We're not here by accident. We're not here because we morphed into what we are here tonight. No, we're here because of His divine providence, His divine will, His divine purpose in our lives. And it is a privilege and an honor to serve Him and to live for Him. Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15. Praise God. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 15. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Praise God. Now you don't have to all jump up and run around the church. All right, but this is very important. And just before getting up this morning, just before waking up this morning, I had a dream. And I was preaching revival to a church. And when they asked me to stay longer and preach longer, this verse of Scripture came to me. And I felt like the Lord showed me that this is what we need in our day and in our time. Amen. We need ears to hear the Word of God. Ears to hear the Word of God. Father, we thank You for the Word tonight. We thank You for Your presence. We ask You to anoint Your Word and to speak to our hearts. We give You thanks. We give You praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated. When we begin to look at this, when I begin to look at this subject in the Word of God, of course, anything you look at in the Word of God, it just has a way of getting bigger and bigger as you delve into it and study and look at it. But ears to hear, amen. Our ears are the instrument, of course, that allows sound to enter into our brains. And then it is understood or it is not understood. Amen. I went into a sub shop in Massachusetts, in Boston, on Massachusetts Avenue. And I went into one of those little sub shops. And there was a man in there, and he was talking so fast I couldn't pick up anything. And I thought, he's speaking in Italian. And it sounded like Italian. And the more that I listened, the more I realized he was speaking in English. But he was speaking so fast that it was hard to pick out what he was saying. And it is entirely possible for us to hear the sound of someone speaking and not actually hear what they are saying. Amen? Has anybody ever done that? Amen. Amen. Any of you men done that while your wife is talking? Praise the Lord. Got one honest man here tonight. Praise God. Well, I've got my hand up as well. Praise the Lord. Got your mind on something else? I hope tonight that you don't have your mind on something else. This is very important here tonight to be in the house of God. There'll be plenty of time to do other things, but let's focus on the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 29. And verse 1 through 4. But before we look at that here, Jesus said that if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. I don't believe that he was talking to people that had physical ability to hear, although that is a very important part of it as well. But I believe that our Lord was speaking spiritually, and that we need to have spiritual ears. But something came up as I was studying this. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 1, these are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh, and unto all his servants, and unto all his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. And so what the Lord told Israel here is very telling. He did not give them ears to hear. That seems a little bit out of place when you look at it on a surface level. But tonight I believe that it is very fitting, first of all, because God knows exactly what he's doing, and his way is always the right way. But it doesn't seem at the first to be very fitting that the Lord would not give them ears to hear, he would not give them eyes to see, nor a heart to perceive, but he gave them water, he gave them clothing, he gave them food and protection all the way through the wilderness into the promised land. But I had to ask myself, it doesn't seem to fit, that God would not give them ears to hear. That does not mean that God did not want them to hear, because he obviously did, in that he spoke the commandments to Moses, and Moses gave those commandments to the people of Israel. But as I began to ponder this, something began to grow out of the Word of God here that's always been there, and that is that growing and prospering and becoming more knowledgeable about whatever it is that you're studying is not something that comes only by hearing. Amen. If that were the truth, we would be a lot smarter than we are right now, because a lot of us have heard things. I remember in my algebra class, and I don't want anybody to take this personally here and say, well, Brother Worst did it, so I can do it. That's not my meaning here tonight. But I remember in algebra class in high school that I was going right along with the whole class. Everything was going just fine. And all of a sudden, my teacher took a corner. He turned a corner, and he left me behind. I didn't know where I was at. I didn't understand what he was talking about. He was talking about this, that, and the other, and it left me behind. Some of you here tonight can't understand how anybody could do that, but I did that. Amen. And you can do a lot of studying about how a wood shop, how the machines in a wood shop works. You can read about it in a book, and you can hear somebody lecture on it, but that does not mean that you will become an expert on the subject. Just because you go through the classes and you hear what needs to be told to you, I was in a wood shop in my high school years, and we were looking at the saw, the table saw. And it was a big table saw, and it was a very powerful table saw. And somebody asked the question, how high do you set the blade? And the teacher said, well, set it as high as you want that much meat to come off of your fingers. Amen. And that made an impression on me. And but it was not just talk. There was involvement. Amen. There was an involvement that took place. You can hear somebody teach, but there is much more to it when you actually put your hands to it and you do what you have been taught to do. Amen. I'm thankful that surgeons don't just get taught in a class how to do surgery, but they are taught. They go into the surgery room, and they are allowed to do certain things. And I remember hearing my doctor, and he had me on the table, and I was almost out, but I wasn't out all the way. So I could hear what was going on. And he's working on me, and somebody else is there. And he said, the blue wire goes right there. And I heard a click, 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 and the red wire goes there. And he was teaching somebody. He was showing someone how to do what they had been taught to do and what they had read in a book. Amen. And growing and prospering doesn't come only by hearing. A wise teacher will teach by making his students participate in the learning by doing. Somebody said amen. 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 And I gained a love for woodworking and that sort of thing, and I still enjoy it today. There's some things that are very important in life that we need to hear. We've got to hear the Word of God. And I look at the greatest of commandments. It took me to this one here. And it is prefaced by something that I suppose we probably never looked at in depth. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 and 5 and 6. And it starts out, hear, comma, amen. Hear. And so what we have to have is ears to hear the word of God. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. And hear, O Israel. So he's telling who they need to hear, who needs to hear. The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And so we have the word command, and we hear the word, or we see the word hear. Amen. And so the commandments go right along with hearing the word of God. Hear, O Israel. Once we hear, then we must do. And it is not enough for us to hear the word of God that says that there is only one God. We've got to go a step further than that, and we have to get to know him personally. Amen. We must spend the time in prayer. We must spend the time with the Lord so that when it's all said and done, we have spiritual perception. We're not just hearing the surface. We're not just hearing the textbook. Amen. But what we are hearing is the voice of God speaking to us. Amen. And the commandments follow this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. These are the positive commandments, some of the positive ones. With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Amen. And so when we hear, the commandments follow the hearing of the word of God. It does us no good to read. It does not do us any good to hear if we are not willing to act upon what we have heard. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 20 and verse 12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Amen. God made it possible, and God has it in his storehouse that we can hear what he wants to try to tell us. Amen. He didn't give Israel an ear to hear. Amen. And he's not going to give us an ear to hear either. Amen. That's not what God is doing in us, but he wants us to have an ear to hear, but he's not going to go through all of the steps that it takes, amen, to have a spiritual ear and to hear what God is trying to say to us. Do you want to hear from God? Amen. Do you want to know the voice of God? Amen. We can. Praise God. There's something that goes along with hearing, and of course, Romans 10 and 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so when we hear, amen, when we hear with a spiritual ear, then it inspires our faith. Amen. I'm telling you what, I would not give a lot for a word that did not inspire my faith. Amen. It is impossible to please God without faith. Faith is one of the top areas of our walk with God. If we don't walk by faith, then we're going to walk by sight. And we must walk by faith. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. But faith can be a dead faith. James chapter 2 and verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Amen. We can have religion and be dead. Did you know that? If we don't have faith, we're going to be dead. Amen. If we're not willing to follow God's leadership, we're going to die. Amen. Spiritually, there will be no life. Amen. Because there is no follow-through with faith, with their faith, or with our faith, if we don't have works with it. You can't say that you have faith and not do anything about it. You can't say that you believe that God's going to bless you financially if you're not willing to give financially. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. You're not going to go to the spiritual places that you want to go in God just by saying, I believe God, but your belief in God is going to take you to your knees in prayer. Amen. It's going to take you to digging deeper into the Word of God. It's going to be more than a Sunday morning relationship. Praise God. It's going to be more than just warming a church pew. It's going to be actually getting up and doing something with the Word of God in your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And then he goes on in verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And so we must act upon what we believe, and what we believe is what we hear. Amen. What we believe is what we hear. I'm still on the subject tonight of he that hath ears, let him hear. Amen. And we can develop ears that hear. They're not given to us in the very beginning, but we can develop ears to hear what God has to say to us. And it is not just coming and sitting on a pew. Praise the Lord. I know I've already said that, but I've seen folks during the preaching, I won't say it was my preaching, maybe somebody else's preaching, and they're ready to nod off and fall asleep. Amen. I see the little ones, they lay on the floor, lay down on the pew, and almost fall asleep. Some of these on the front row, I can tell when they're listening and when they're really not listening. Amen. And they know when they're listening and when they're not listening. You know when you're listening and when you're not listening. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's like reading the Word of God sometimes. You can get through a whole chapter and stop yourself and say, I don't remember a bit of what I just read. And so I'm going to go back to the first verse and I'm going to read that. And sometimes I've had to go over the first verse two or three times to get my mind oriented to say, hold it just a minute. Stop what you're thinking and focus upon the Word of God. Amen. And then it makes an impression into your life. Praise God. Amen. It's not enough to take a class about something. You have to participate in that class. Amen. And so if we act upon what we hear, we will be given an ear to hear from God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Matthew 7 and 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. I got a feeling that each of them heard or they read the blueprint of how to build a house. In the time of our Lord, I don't know if they had those things. They probably did, because there are drawings that go way back, and they probably had an understanding of how to build a proper house. And here's the man building on the rock, and he's following the plan, and he's taking extra time. He's working hard. He's giving it his very best. He's investing. He's putting his time into it. And over here, this man lays some boards out on the sand and starts building a house on top of the sand. And the man over here hollers over at him. I know this isn't in the Bible, but this is my interpretation tonight. And he hollers over at him, "Hey man, you're not doing it the right way. You're going to end up in a real problem here." And the man listened and said, "Yeah, okay, all right," and just kept on doing it the way he was doing it. And probably heard many, many people say, "We've seen this before, and it's not going to work. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to work." But have you ever seen someone that's stubborn? Amen. Have you ever been someone that's stubborn? Well, I got more amen out of that one than anything tonight. Praise God. And been stubborn, well, that's not the way to do it. Oh, friend, I'll tell you what, I knew someone one time, and they was like a bull in a china closet, whatever they did. And he called me up one day and said, "Hey, do you know anybody that can rethread a spark plug hole?" And I said, "What in the world are you talking about?" He said, "Can you rethread a spark plug hole?" I said, "I don't know anybody that does that, except a place that works on engines. What happened?" "Well, I got my spark plug cross-threaded, and it wouldn't go in, and so I got a wrench, and I really whomped down on it, tried to force it to go through, and busted my spark plug off, and I thought, you're just a bull in a china closet." Amen. Just tearing it up because you didn't want to give in to the fact that you didn't do it right. Amen. Well, I've been there. Anybody else been there? Amen. Let's put a little more pressure. Let's jack it up just a little bit more and see what happens. Until all of a sudden you hear a crack and then you go, "Oh no, what did I just do?" Well, praise the Lord. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself here tonight. That's all right. I need it. Amen. But whoever hears the sayings and doeth them, the only reason that we're actually going to do anything is because we believe it. And if we do it because we do it and we don't believe it, the day will come, especially when you're talking about truth in the Word of God, the day will come when you will receive understanding of why you're doing it. Amen. The day will come when all of a sudden it will click. Praise God. I remember doing multiplication in grade school and just writing it down and writing the answer, writing it down. We'd have to write the same thing down over and over and over again. But it wasn't until I saw five pencils and five pencils. Amen. 5 + 5 = 10. I've got 10 pencils. Oh, I get it now. It's more than just a book learning. When I put some application to it, I understood that this was truth, and I was able to perceive. Amen. That's what we do with our ears. We perceive. Amen. We sense things. We hear things. And we're able to pick up on things. Praise the Lord. Let's go to a scripture here tonight, Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. I begin to look at this, and I found out there are five different areas. Now, I'm not going to stay here till midnight. I've got somebody important that's coming to the house. Somebody, you know who I'm talking about tonight. So I'm not going to go through 5 points for 3 hours here tonight, all right? Somebody said hallelujah. All right, now I know who's not listening. Luke 14 and verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Amen. And so then he goes on down, and you can read these verses all the way down through verse 35. He said, for which of you intending to build a tower sits down first and counteth the cost whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that beheld it begin to mock him. And then the last verse, verse 35, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so the first thing that I see in Scripture here in my study today is counting the cost. Praise God. Counting the cost is first. And, you know, excitement can override things. And you can say, it won't cost that much. How many of us have ever said that? Oh, it won't cost that much. And then by the time you get done, it's two or three times the price of what you thought it was going to be. Because you were more romantic about getting it done than you were in reality. Amen. Some folks have come to me and said, well, what do you think about this? And they say it with excitement. You know, when you want to hear the right answer, you always build it up and you're excited about it. And I said, well, did you consider the cost of this? Well, no, I didn't consider that. Well, did you consider the cost of this here? Well, no, actually, I didn't. And by the time we get done talking about counting the cost, the enthusiasm has gone down some. You know what we need to count the cost of, folks? Of living for God. If you're going to make it all the way to heaven, you've got to count the cost. Did you know there's going to be difficulties along the way in living for God? Did you know that there will be changes in your life that you're not expecting? Yes, there will be. There will be things that will hurt you. There will be things that will cost you dearly. Amen. And you look at it and you say, that's going to cost me a lot. Well, praise God. I was talking to the building inspector, and he was talking to the man that built our new hotel in town. Maybe I shouldn't say this too loud. But the man that was building the project showed up in a Mercedes-Benz, and he said he had a big old wad of cash. And he said, told the inspector, he said, man, you're costing me a lot of money because of the way you want those plumbing pipes to go up out of the building. And he said, you've got to do it to code. You have to do it to code because there are people up above. And if you don't do it to code, see, they went in and they tried to do it a shoddy job, and they put it in quickly because it was real easy, but they hadn't put all the sheetrock in. And now they've got all these pipes going up and through the floor, and now they've got to put sheetrock around all those pipes after the fact. Be a whole lot easier just to drill holes and then put the pipe up through. Maybe that doesn't make any sense to you, but he said, you're costing me a lot of money. Listen, if you're going to build something and do it right so that if a fire breaks out, the people above you don't perish, amen, you're going to have to count the cost. You know what? If we don't make it, we're going to perish. Did you know that? If we don't make it, we're going to go to an eternity without God in what the Bible calls the lake of fire, outer darkness. You can call it whatever the Bible says. There's a number of things that it talks about it, and I'm not going to preach on that here tonight, but I'm telling you, to get to heaven is going to cost you some things. If you're going to build your house on the rock, it's going to cost you more than building a house any other way. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. And so he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We've got to count the cost. You've got to count the cost when times get tough. You've got to sit down and say, is it worth it to live for God? It's a whole lot better to do that in the beginning and then go back to your commitment rather than somewhere down the middle of the road and say, what am I going to do now? Listen, when I gave my life to God, I don't know about you, but I said, God, I'm going to serve you all the days of my life. And I stand here tonight with that resolve in my heart. Let come what may, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do the will of God. Anybody else feel that way tonight? I feel that way tonight. I'm committed to that tonight. I didn't really know all of the cost that was involved, but I gave my whole life on the altar to God. And that's what you've got to do, young person. You've got to put your whole life on the altar and say, God, whatever you want to do with my life, I'm willing to follow you. Praise God. I'm willing to obey the commandments and do the word of God. I'm not going to come to church, amen, and just act like I'm praying. I'm not going to come to church, amen, and say amen, but when I walk out the door, I don't do anything that I said amen about. Well, praise God. It makes a difference. Because what we have to have is ears to hear. Amen. The second thing that I found in the scriptures is in Luke chapter 8 and verse 5 through 8. Very familiar. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, some fell on a rock, and some fell among thorns, and other fell on good ground. Amen. And the hard, the rocky ground, the cares of this world, amen. And the committed and fruit-producing ground, amen. We are, every one of us here tonight, fit into one of these four different categories. Every one of us. Amen. And so, firstly, I said we've got to count the cost, but secondly, we've got to look inwardly. I'm preaching to me just as much as I am anybody else here tonight. Amen. We got to look inwardly. I've got to look at myself and say, where do I fit in? Am I wayside ground? That's ground that's been stepped on. It's hard. Am I stony ground where it does not have deepness of earth and the roots cannot go down and the plant cannot survive? Am I caught up in the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches so that I don't have time to read the Word of God, so I don't have time to go and hear the preaching of the Word of God? Well, praise the Lord. That's exactly what he's talking about here. Or am I the good ground? Am I striving to be the good ground? And what I know to do, I'm doing it. Amen. What I hear in the preaching of the Word of God, I'm willing to go and do it. Amen. I'm not just making noise when I come here, but I'm actually following through and doing what the Word of God has to say. Amen. I can say, I was reading the scriptures that was on the wall tonight, and Jesus said, whatever you ask, whatever you desire, I'm going to give it to you. And that thrilled me. That excited me tonight. Amen. But I want you to know that I'm going to go to God and I'm going to say, God, this is what I desire. Amen. That's exactly what that scripture says, whatsoever you desire. He didn't say it was just necessarily what you need, but that's a part of it. But he said, what do you desire? Amen. Well, I feel like the Old Testament man of God that said, my desire is to dwell in the house of God all the days of my life, and to come before the Lord and inquire in His temple. Amen. I want to be able to hear from God. I want to draw close to God, but I can't draw close to God, amen, if my ground is not the way it should be. Praise God. It's the will of God. Hear me tonight. It is the will of God that we produce fruit in our lives. And that fruit comes by the depth of soil and the quality of the soil, which is your spirit. Amen. And it is the willingness that you have to bear fruit. Praise God. Praise God. So he says, whosoever hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so he said it in that instance as well. He said it in another place in Mark chapter 7 and verse 14. And when he had called all the people unto them, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. He's talking about physical food. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And so we've got to count the cost, and then we must look inwardly, and then we must watch what comes out of our lives. This takes honesty. This takes personal honesty of looking at your own self, amen, and saying, what can I do to be a better child of God? What can I do to obey the commandments of God? Amen. It's not what comes into us that is altogether that important, but it is important. If we don't have the Word of God coming into us, then nothing good can come out of us. Praise the Lord. But he was talking about food is what he was talking about there. But we've got to have good things coming out of us. Somebody said amen. Amen. All right, number four. Hey, we're already at number four. Y'all think you can make it? Amen. I think I can make it. All right. Matthew 13 and 24. Another parable put he forth unto them. Verse 24. Chapter 13, verse 24. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Everybody said good seed. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat also with them. And you read on down, and he would say, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. So what I see as well is that we must look at the things that we face from without. I've already been talking here about the things that are within. We must look inwardly and what comes out of us. Amen. But we also have things that we face from without. And of course, how we handle life's difficulties will determine our spiritual hearing ability. Did you hear that tonight? What do you do when your tire goes flat in the morning when you're getting ready to go to work? What comes out of your mouth? Praise God. What do you do when somebody cuts you off on the highway on the way to work? Amen. Well, it happens all the time. I see people going down the road, and I think, dear Lord, they're asking for disaster. Amen. Some folks just get out of control when they're driving. I was going into Wichita one day, and I just passed Hillside going in on Kellogg, and on the opposite side of the lane, all of a sudden I saw a car go airborne, and it's flipping and rolling, and it was heading right toward me, and it hit the guardrail, and it stopped, and I was so thankful it didn't jump the guardrail. Amen. Or you all been looking for another pastor? Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, I got to praise the Lord out of that one. I'll be in heaven. Amen. I've got a friend of mine, I still have a friend of mine who pastored in New Hampshire, and I was the youth president, and he was the youth secretary, and we worked very closely together. Brother Paul Howe, one of the finest Christian men you'll ever be around, and he was 4 years older than me, and passed away last year, 2017, and it was very sudden, and no one was expecting it, and he posted it on there. They posted it, sent it to me on Facebook, and I went down just a little bit further, and it was the 1 year anniversary of his passing, and someone put a little thing on there that said, Facebook will not change my address. I guess they can't figure out where I'm at. And it was hashtag living in heavenly places or something like that. Amen. I thought that was really neat. Well, praise God. Y'all look like you're ready to finish here tonight. Amen. And he said, we face things from without. He sowed good seed in his field. He put in time. He did it the right way. He was following protocol. Plowed the ground. Planted at the right depth. Did all of that. And then went home because he was so tired. And while he was at home sleeping, an enemy comes and sows tares in his field. That's what happens when you live for God. Amen. That's exactly what happens. You put in your time. You sow your seed. You do the right thing. You pray. You seek God. But hear me tonight. The devil is out doing his work. Amen. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and he began to tell me his beliefs, and he said, oh, the devil's not in this world anymore. I said, oh, really? Nope. He said, I got a message from Michael the Archangel the other day. I said, oh, really? Yeah. He said, I knew it was from him because it was on my telephone. He said, my phone started ringing. He was dead serious. My phone started ringing. And he said, this voice started coming over my phone, and I got a message from Michael the Archangel, and we're living in the kingdom age. He said, it's a glorious age that we're coming to. And he said that Michael has said that the parts of the scripture are not right, and there's going to be some additions coming to the Bible. And I said, friend, I said, you and I are going to fall apart on that one right there. Said, I don't believe that. Amen. Well, I'm telling you what, the devil is still real. He has not been cast away from this earth. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Amen. As though some strange thing happened. Why do we think it's strange when bad things come along from the devil? Amen. That's his job. He's supposed to do that. That's what he was hired to do. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, help me. Amen. Well, do you have problems in your life? Amen. The rest of us do too. And you're striving and you're working hard and you're trying to do the best you can do. But what we've got to do is we've got to understand the parable here. Let him that hath ears to hear. It's your spiritual ears, your ability to hear spiritually will be determined by what you do when all of a sudden a tare grows up right beside you. One answer here in the scripture is, you want us to go tear it up? You want us to go pull it out? You want us to just throw it away? You want us just to exercise our authority and go out in the field and start picking weeds out of the field? He said, no. He said, don't do that. He said, let them grow together until the harvest. And in the harvest, they will be separated. It will be in the harvest that the wheat will be put over here and the tares will be put over here and they will be burned. Amen. Sometimes it is not ours to judge. Amen. Sometimes it is not ours to take it into our own hand. Amen. But it is to give it to God's will. Amen. Because we must have spiritual ears to hear. Amen. There'll be things that'll come along, and some of you could preach this tonight. Amen. Because you've come through the fire. Praise God. But I'm telling you, the devil is alive and real, and he'll try to disrupt your walk with God through your children. He'll try to disrupt your prayer life with your busy schedule. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with a busy schedule. Don't misunderstand me tonight. Amen. He will try to disrupt your walk with God and your faithfulness to the house of God by putting loads of stress on you and the temptation just to stay home and sleep instead of coming to church will be a great temptation. I'm telling you, it makes a difference what we hear, but it makes a difference what we do with what we hear. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Lastly, everybody said lastly. Amen. Matthew 11 and verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went you out to see in the wilderness? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto thee, or say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Amen. He built up John as a great man, greater than all of the prophets, greater than Moses, greater than David, greater than Abraham, and all of those men they regarded highly. And he said, John the Baptist is at the top of the list. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. He that hath ears to hear, verse 15, let him hear. Praise God. I'm telling you what, folks, God gets the glory when we believe him and we stand on who we really are. Amen. It's not the will of God for us to walk around with our head down all the time. Praise God. It's not the will of God for us to say, oh, woe is me. Everything has gone down and it's not going to come back up again. Listen, God is bigger than anything. I'm going to say that again. My God is bigger than anything. And if we're going to have spiritual ears to hear the word of God, we've got to stand in the time of difficulty and understand who we are. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. Amen. We are the children of the Most High, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in his name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, Pastor. Amen. Here's an example. These signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. These signs shall follow them that believe. They don't just hear, they actually believe it. Amen. They don't just read that scripture. They say, anybody that needs prayer, come up. We're going to lay hands on you and pray and believe in Jesus' name. And we can do that on the job. Well, praise God. We can do that in a home setting. We can do that. You can do that with your children. Praise God. It's time that we stand up and declare who we are. We don't want to be like the seven sons of Sceva, that when the Spirit speak out, they say, Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, but I don't know who you are. It's time to declare who we are. Amen. I'm a blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled child of the King tonight, and I have the authority that God has given to me. Amen. Psalm 149 and verse 1, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Doesn't say when things are going good only, but it talks about it every day of the week of the year, every year of our life. Let him praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, and he will beautify the meek with salvation. Well, that's not just at church, folks. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. Yes, we have our head down once in a while, but we're going to get it back up, and we're going to move on for God. Amen. A good man will fall seven times, but bless your heart, he's going to get back up and go again, because there's nothing stopping a man who believes and knows that he's heard from God. Don't tell me that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but the grace of God did not extend to him until he got a hammer in his hand and a saw in his hand, and he built a boat, and when it was finished, that was when the grace of God was afforded to him and salvation came to his family. Praise God. I'm telling you, we cannot be textbook Christians. We cannot be hearers only. Are you listening tonight? We cannot be hearers only, but we must be doers of the word. If we don't, we're deceiving our own selves. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. I'm not going to stay long after church. We won't be hanging around, all right? I've got a little buddy about this long that's out at the house. They came in late tonight, and I get to spend a little bit of time with my buddy. Amen. I got to talk to him on the telephone on their way over, and Mama was burping him, and he was just a-talking away. I said, oh, my, he's a-talking. Yeah, he's really been talking. So him and Grandpa's going to have talk. Amen. We're going to sing some songs together and talk to each other. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. Praise God. It's not that y'all aren't important tonight. And I'll shake your hand Sunday or something. If you see me running out, it's not because I don't want to be here. Praise God. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. We thank you for truth tonight. We thank you for your blessings tonight. Thank you for your hand that's upon us, O God. I pray for those that are in the midst of trial and tribulation. I pray for those that are on the mountaintop tonight and everyone in between, Lord, that you would lift us up into your presence. God, that you would give us ears to hear as we do the word of God, as what we hear, we are willing to do and obey and follow through, that we may draw closer and closer and closer to you. And I ask it tonight in Jesus' name. Somebody said amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Can we do that tonight?